My guest at this time is currency expert and monetary historian Andrew Gause. He is the author of books such as The Secret World of Money and Uncle Sam Cooks the Books. He says when you take a look at some of the dire fiscal projections about our debt coming from the Congressional Budget Office and elsewhere, things can look pretty bleak. But he says it's important to keep in mind things are actually far worse. And Andrew, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me. My pleasure.
You say recently that this new projection from the CBO that we're going to add $10 trillion onto what is already almost $17 trillion of debt in the next 10 years is actually a pretty conservative estimate given the history of the CBO. Explain why that is.
Historically, they've been, what shall we call it, conservative in their projections. In fact, they've been way low. And unfortunately, it's the CBO that tells us that by 2023, the national debt will be around $26 trillion. So if that is one of their historically conservative projections, that number can be off by as much as 50%. So, we could really be up in the mid-30s to $40 trillion in debt by 2023.
Both parties like to use the CBO as the gold standard when the calculation comes out to their advantage. What is it about the CBO's approach to these numbers that makes them historically under sell what the debt's likely to be?
Well, historically they've been nonpartisan. And, as you said, their number has been the gold standard because neither side really has a tremendous influence over the operations of the CBO. Unfortunately, again, they've been extremely conservative as it relates to the debt numbers. And I think that may be perhaps because the real figures and the real projections, the numbers that they work with, the raw materials, are not really reflecting the total picture.
When you look at the numbers, you get very different analyses from the two sides of the aisle. On the one hand, you have Democrats saying, we've already cut these programs to the tune of $2.5 trillion over the next 10 years. Not sure where else we can cut. On the flip side, you have others saying, look, if you figure in unfunded mandates and liabilities, we're well over $100 trillion in debt, and it's already hopeless. So where do you come down on all that?
Well, I come down somewhere in the middle. Certainly, I see the unfunded liabilities as a problem, these off-budget expenses, the idea that our federal government should be able to run on a cash basis as opposed to an accrual basis, meaning, the only bills that they have to really reveal to us are those that are due in the next couple years. Anything that's due in outlying years, it doesn't exist, according to the government's budget. So I think something needs to be changed there. That and separating the Social Security Trust Fund from the rest of the budget. This idea of a unified budget where you throw the Social Security contributions into a pile and sort of take out of the Treasury what you need to fund that program and consider the Social Security receipts as mere taxes. That's led us into this debacle where, government is borrowing each month to make the Social Security payments. If it would just leave the money in the trust fund alone, we would have trillions of dollars in there.
Do you see a plan out there from any member on either side that rings true to you as the best way to get our fiscal house back in order, or is this more of an exercise in rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic?
Well, I hope it's not the latter. Most certainly there have been some respectable proposals put forth, not the least of which, of course, is Ron Paul's proposal to audit the Fed, and I assume bring some control to that institution. I think a public banking system where the bank that funds the national deficit is not a private institution that does so for profit might be a good place to start. And I've written a little bit about that. In fact, I have a few audio CDs if your listeners would like to get them. The Federal Reserve is probably my most popular, and then Protecting Your Wealth would be second most popular. Both of these deal with what is going to be used as money as we move forward. And I think with no change, you can count on a dollar that's worth significantly less than the one we have. Our forefathers covered it well, I think, in the Constitution when they said no state should make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debt. Certainly a silver quarter would buy a gallon of gas in 1964. And today a silver quarter being worth, $5.60 or so, it will still buy a gallon of gas. So that's what we need as Americans, a sound money system.
How concerned are you about inflation right now?
Terribly concerned. In fact, one of the publications we put out is entitled The Ravages of Inflation, and it shows how inflation is sort of built into the system. the three components that require it. One, of course, is that increase in the money supply. And you can see the Fed has more than quadrupled the money supply in the last 4 years. Second, of course, we need to take up demand in the sense that factories need to run at full capacity and people need to be employed. Once those two factors are met, then that third factor, monetary velocity, where people actually start spending money again, those three can combine to provide the biggest bout of inflation we've ever seen in this nation, let alone comparing it to that last run from 77 to 80.
During your study of our fiscal woes here, Andy, what have you learned that you think a lot of folks who are listening to this interview might be wise to take into consideration when they watch the coverage of this debate and other fiscal issues? You've written the book, The Secret World of Money. What is it about the way the system works that isn't often transparent when it's discussed politically or reported in the media?
That the number one contributor to both sides of the aisle are the institutions that own and control the Federal Reserve banks. Their influence in policy has just had a dramatic effect on the lives of Americans. A perfect example would, of course, be the TARP bailout bill when it originally came before Congress in the name of the people to give all this money to bail out the banks. The people said no, the representatives did. And then the second vote a couple of days later, everyone changed their tune. And I think it's clearly, if you look again at the FEC, Federal Election Commission, you'll see that the number one contributor to both sides of the aisle are the Federal Reserve banks, their owners, and their lobbyists. And we need to get their influence out of politics. If they're independent, then let them not try to influence legislation. That certainly is not a way to go.
And how much of that would be addressed with an audit of the Fed?
I think all of it would be. If you, that data dump that the Fed revealed as a condition of this bailout revealed quite a bit in terms of insider dealing. You know, the loans to the Bank of Libya, we're told they're, you know, state enemy. We're not supposed to be trading with them, but yet we have our Federal Reserve Bank making them loans. And then the insider loans to the members and their wives, the owners of the banks and their wives, all of this was revealed in that data dump that the Fed made in response to the TARP bailout law. So I think an audit of the Fed would reveal the inconsistencies and the self-dealing that goes on. And the bankers are, in fact, making billions of dollars in profits from their ownership of the Federal Reserve system. And again, I cover that on the audio CD that I give out, the Federal Reserve. You know, if any of your listeners would like to get their hands on this, they can do so by giving us a call at 800-468-2646. We'll be happy to provide it free. And you can get your own education and determine whether or not the Federal Reserve is operating in the best interest of the people or in the best interest of the banks that own the system.
Go ahead and give that number one more time, Andy.
800-468-2646. Get those audio CDs free of charge. Just mention, of course, that you heard it here.
Very good. Andy, always good to have you with us. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, my friend.
Andy Gause is a currency expert, monetary historian. He's the author of The Secret World of Money and Uncle Sam Cooks the Books. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.